Winston City Council, June 5th, 2023, 7 p.m.
Is it just me or is it a bit warm in here?
Everybody got quiet when I turned on the recorders. That's so funny.
A little warm.
It is.
But we're from the coast, so.
It's cooler than it is outside.
Ogden?
Why?
Ogden Ridge.
Oh.
Is that awesome?
Okay. I'm not doing anything.
Wow, I'm disappointed. You guys can all move up if you'd like, there's not gonna be anybody. Will won't bite.
Watch out, we might.
Darker the better.
Okay, it's close enough. Welcome, please, join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, it's right here. You have to turn this way, man.
Turn around, he moved it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call. We're looking for Councilor White in live and in person. Councilor Cunningham?
Here.
Councilor Anderson?
Here.
Councilor Hobson?
Here.
And I'm here as well. Mr. Bauer, any adjustments to the agenda?
One, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move the manager's report under 6D ahead of the hearing regarding the city's budget so that I can go through the public safety fund audit.
Okay. You'd like to do that then after the urban renewals?
After urban renewal.
Okay. Good. Okay. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Councilor Hobson, who is the urban renewal president.
So we suspend the council meeting.
You better open it officially, you know.
There you
okay,
go. There we go.
Got to make some noise to make it happen.
Wake everybody up. This is the required public hearing to accept public input on issues not related to land use site. You have a motion to open the public hearing for the urban renewal.
So made.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to open the public hearing for the urban renewal budget. All in favor?
Aye.
The Winston City Municipal Code Title 3, Chapter 30 specifies the order of presentation of testimony at public hearings after hearing is open as follows. Number one is the staff report. Two is out of meeting or conflict of interest disclosures. Four is public statements in opposition, public statements in favor, public statements in general, council questions and comments, and applicants. We can do that. Okay. Following the presentation of testimony, the presiding officer will open the floor for a motion to close the public hearing. If there's nothing further, I'm moving for a motion to close the public hearing.
We need to call for testimony.
Okay. I will call open the public hearing for testimony. And
all right. Thank you, council, audience. We are here to do the budget hearing for the Urban Renewal Agency for the City of Winston. This is per the budget committee that met on May the 3rd. This is what they have approved. We are showing revenues for the next fiscal year, 23 and 24, $378,570. The current year budget was $408,363. And the actual for the 21-22 fiscal year was $410,659. Expenditures, materials and services for the upcoming year, $18,006. Capital outlay, $219,570. Debt service, $80,400. Other expenditures, $60,000 for a total of $378,570 for the 23-24 fiscal year. This current year, we have $408,363 budgeted for expenditures, and the actual for the 21-22 fiscal year was $410,659. statement of indebtedness, Starting July 1, the urban renewal has a debt of $76,589, with no other debt authorized or incurred prior to 7-1. Any questions?
Any questions for Ann?
Got nothing.
Okay. Since there's no questions, I will, and there's no public input asked about, I will close the public hearing.
Perfect. Thank you. Mr. Bauer, if you would like to offer your administration report, please.
I would, Your Honor. Thank you, members of council and members of the audience. Councilor Cunningham raised some questions regarding the public safety fund and its use. And we had passed that back in 2019, and without having any prior knowledge of the question, I'd have time to look it up prior to the meeting. Since that time, on your dais, you'll find the ordinance, copy of the ordinance. Under page 3, 35.140, dedication of funds, states that all public safety fee revenue derived shall be distinctly and clearly noted in both the revenue and expenditure section of the city budget and shall be used for the replacement of vehicles and other associated police equipment and other costs incidental thereto and for no other purpose in order to help provide for a safe, well-functioning public safety program. The fees paid and collected by virtue of this chapter shall not be used for general or other governmental proprietary uses. So we couldn't use it for anything else in the general fund. It was dedicated specifically to the police fund. So along with that, you want to put this up on the screen? You have also at your dais an audit of the public safety fund. There were some things, I didn't remember all the details of this, but we started out with a prior balance from the police fund to the sewer fund for prior purchased cars. And then we were still paying on that debt. It was a 10-year debt. In that 18-19 period, we also got a $20,000 donation to purchase the canine vehicle. So you see up there, we got the canine vehicle for $18,000, and we got a donation of $20,000 in that first column. The ones with brackets are negatives, just for those that are following suit. So we also purchased the 3 Dodge Durangos, and we ended up then with we had a cost of $142,000. We purchased those 3 vehicles before we ever saved a dime in the public safety fund. So we ended up with a newer sewer loan balance as of July 1 of 2019, $163,944 owed against the sewer fund. That was to be paid back in 5 annual payments, the $34,782 a year. So as you go down through the years in here, you'll see in 1920, 2021, 21, 22, 22, 23, you see the $34,782 continues to show up as our annual payment. There's also one more payment of that due in the 23-24 budget year. So you can see that that has been accounted toward that property. So in July of 19, we'll just start up here at 1920, we had a beginning fund balance of minus $33,680. We owed a loan payment of $34,782. We received $92,988 in revenue, left us a balance of $24,526. In 2020, 2021, We had a beginning fund balance of the $24,526. We added $93,000 to that. We had two computers purchased, and those were for the vehicles. And we had the loan payment of $34,782 left us a balance of $78,463. So we go to 21-22. We start out with the $78,463. We received $94,662 in public safety funds. We purchased the Chief's Durango in that year. We purchased another patrol vehicle in that year. We purchased some other vehicles, equipment, radios, the design on the vehicles and computers for the vehicles. And we had the loan payment of $34,782, left us $28,781. Now, when we first started this out, we were purchasing the first three vehicles, and then we weren't going to purchase another vehicle till the fifth year. That was when those vehicles would be running out against their time. So that was the original plan. But we ended up purchasing more vehicles between now and the beginning of that, and that's the reason why there's really not much money left in this fund. So beginning in 22-23, we had a balance of $28,781. We received $95,226. We had expenditures on equipment for the vehicles. We purchased the Ford Explorer from the city of Roseburg for $6,000. We purchased another patrol Durango for $57,375. And we had a payment of $34,782 left us $15,502. And so that's starting this budget year. We start out with that $15,000 budgeted $97,000 and a loan payment $505 would leave us at the end of this next budget year a balance of $77,720. So we currently don't have enough money to purchase vehicles. It does appear that the ordinance allows the council to use that money for equipment and other public safety program expenditures in the fund. But you can see that this is just all qualifying equipment. And at the end of this month, you know, we'll have $15,000 left in that fund.
So, also, I think we need to make note too that $57,375 that we spent last year on that Dodge Durango is going to approach almost $70,000 the next time we buy one. Is that correct?
Well, I guess we've heard that there's
a new vehicle that
costs us. I don't know. We know an exact dollar number yet, but.
But that was what the estimate was going to be.
Probably, yeah.
So then, is that that's really good. I appreciate that. Okay, seriously. But are we going to have a separate line item because that is fence money? You know, that's basic accounting 101 to have a.
I'm sorry. I'm still deaf in my right ear. Sorry.
To have that as a line item, a category, within the budget, so it's not buried in the general fund, because
it can't be in the general fund.
No, I know that. That's okay. Why I'm making the point, because that would put us in direct line then with having that in conjunction with the ordinance. In other words, this is the police fund, period, and it has its own independent line item.
And I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm sure Ann is too. The reason why it goes in the way it does is because the police department is a function of the general fund. And so all the general fund revenues that support the police department go into the general fund. So of our $3.2 million budget, 2.3 of that, or 2.4, nearly 2.4 of that in next year's budget is in the police fund. So They take the lion's share of all revenue coming into the general fund.
Oh, I understand that, but I'm just saying within the police department's line budget.
Yeah.
Can there be a line item number that is for that only? Because that way you have a ready track just by looking at that line number.
I think so. I think we can insert that, can't we?
It's going to be capital outlay because that's where this is basically in.
Understood.
If you were to look at it, it would all be in capital outlay for.
Understood.
For automobiles.
Yeah.
I suppose we could add another account.
Because the reason for that is
line item.
Because that's an important item that is on the safety fee. And that way the citizens could, you know, can either look at it, they can see exactly where it's at and how it's being spent.
Right. And that it's only an expenditure of the police fund.
Exactly. You got it. That's it. So otherwise, that's quite impressive.
Any other questions for Mr. Bauer on the budget report?
The second part of my report, I'll just take care of it now. It's not very long, but I told you in the weekly report that I'd come back and let you know what kind of costs associated revenue bonds for the sewer fund have, what they will cost us over time. So what we asked the bonding company was, what does a $5 million bond look like as far as annual cost involved to fund something like that? And they said, well, if it's a 10-year bond, it would be at 3.05%, and it would cost us an additional $19.19 in rates in order to fund that. To fund it for 15 years as a 15-year bond, that would be done at a 3.59% interest rate. It would generate $441,000 annually. It would require an increase of $14.23. A 20-year bond, it would be $370,000 at 3.96% and would cost $11.94 in increase in order to fund that. So, one of the other things I sent out was that DEQ now has raised their ceiling on debt forgiveness from $1 million to $4 million. So we are going to be looking at all those alternatives in a one-stop meeting coming up, and hopefully Will's going to talk about that a little bit with his comments later on in the program. That's what the cost of revenue bonds is right now for a $5 million purchase.
The total cost of the sewer repair, because it's up in the catastrophic area, I may be mistaken on this, was that 25 mil?
It was 20 million for the collection system and about 5 million for the treatment plant. Yes, 25 million total.
Okay, because if we're looking at the 5 mil, that does not approach the 25 mil that would be needed.
You're right. So we need to be strategic about it as we apply for these loan forgiveness, loan grants, so that we...
Ferry sewer? The sewer ferry?
So that we only purchase bonds. The bonds would be the last amount of money that you would want to purchase. So as long as the DEQ rates or the federal grant money rates are more attractive than the bonding rates, and they have forgiveness attached to them of some kind, then that's the way we'll tend to gravitate this thing. And then in the end, you may end up with revenue bond payments at some point. We'll just need to kind of strategically attack that so we know when that time is.
Wow. It's going to be fun, huh?
Anything else for Mr. Bauer? Okay, we're going to deal with another public hearing now. This is a required public hearing to accept public input on issues not related to land use. We have a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. This is for the budget. And if you would mind providing us with your witty commentary.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, audience. This is the budget hearing for the City of Lewiston for the 2023-2024 fiscal budget. We are anticipating resources in the amount of $11,400,784 and expenditures for personnel services $3,952,864, materials and services $2,400,254, capital outlay $2,197,288, debt service $169,970, transfers $1,6,719, contingencies $14,351, and unappropriated funds $1,659,338 for a total of $11,400,784. We're going to break through the funds. The general fund is $3,247,610. Street and drainage fund $1,046,915. The sewer fund $3,144,474. The reserve fund $2,392,556. The wastewater treatment facility $1,268,371. The community center fund $164,265. And the transportation utility fund $136,593. For again a total of $11,400,784. Debt service, total debt outstanding for all funds, $1,873,956. And the permanent rate levy has not changed and remains unchanged at 4.2718 per $1,000.
Thank you. Any public statements in opposition to the budget hearing? Anybody for spending this kind of money? Any general statements? Council, questions for comments for Ann?
You need money. Anyone want to donate several million?
John, buy a lottery ticket. I bought one tonight.
Did you? Good, good. You want to help us out?
Buy it for a new mint.
Okay, that's
just
great.
Just don't spend a lot. Well, it takes a couple dollars.
Well, okay. What could we turn that into on the craps table, I wonder?
You might turn it into zero.
I'm not going to prison.
Oh, so in other words, nothing.
Yes.
Perfect.
Do you think that we might be lucky and have a change in the budget with a higher than expected in tax income?
I don't know. If that should happen, we would do a supplemental budget.
We're going to have to build some more houses rather quickly.
Yeah, I know. A little tiny one.
Yeah. We're going to get into that next.
We can wish. We can hope.
Yeah.
So do we need to approve this then?
Yes, please.
Okay. Looking for a motion then to approve the City of Lewiston 2023-2024 budget.
I make a motion that we approve the 23-24 Winston budget.
Have a motion. Look for a second.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
And then we're going to close that public hearing, and then we're going to open another public hearing. You guys are glad you came tonight. Proposed ordinance number 23712, camping ordinance. The public hearing process. This is a required public hearing to accept public input on issues not related to land use. Do I have a motion to open the public hearing?
I make a motion to open the public hearing.
I second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Okay. Out of meeting conflict of interest disclosures. Does anybody have anything hidden in their past of dealing with this issue?
No.
You want to?
No.
Okay. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So ordinance number 23-712 directly precedes state legislation that was passed as it directly relates the usage of public spaces for those experiencing homelessness. So essentially, we are referring to House Bill 3115 and House Bill 3124. Allot certain provisions to those experiencing homelessness, the ability to make certain provisions for themselves when they have no alternatives. So essentially, in previous meetings, we outlined and went over the city's options, and there were a total of three. So option number one, the city can essentially take no action. And after July 1, when the state legislation goes into effect, it would render our public spaces available for any length of time without any kind of restrictions or regulations. Option number two is the city could adopt an ordinance, which is the ordinance you see here today, that places some provisions and restrictions on the integrity of our public spaces. Option number three would be what Sutherland's doing, and that is designate a specific camp where you can send them to offer specific amenities in order to assist them in their transition. So ordinance number 23-712, I'll just go over broad strokes. Number one, the legislation requires us to amend any conflicting language our municipal code currently has. Right now, what it says is that the public parks, which are owned by the public, are closed during the evening hours, which would directly conflict with the state provisions that came down around House Bill 3115. So that would be more specifically Chapter 90, Chapter 90.090, Chapter 90.091. So those were amended, which are housed in this ordinance and would essentially execute that change. The second thing that the ordinance did was did a broad analysis and adopted provisions to essentially prohibit areas that might be deemed unsafe. Areas such as public rights-of-ways, sidewalks, areas that might be inundated with natural features like wetlands or floodplain, areas that might be within 1,000 feet of a school or a daycare, things of that nature, public facilities to where the facilitation of such activity could not take place. So one of the more essential things that the ordinance captures is it only allows for a 10-hour period of time overnight, so 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. For this type of activity to be available. It also captures all the noticing requirements, for example, if a campsite is set up, if they're making provisions for themselves, if there are no alternatives, they have to bed down specifically in a public space. And they leave some of their things after the time lapses at 7 in the morning. We're required to post a 72-hour notice. If they don't gather their things or retrieve them, we're required to gather them and hold them for 30 days. So the ordinance essentially captures those provisions as well and essentially closes a loop by referencing Title 90.094, which is a violation or penalty, essentially transitioning it from criminalization to civil in nature or compliance. So those are broad strokes of the ordinance. This would be the public hearing for it. It is on the agenda later this evening for a second reading. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Thomas. So, Cindy, you want to read the ordinance by title only, please?
I can do that. Proposed ordinance number 23-712. An ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council amending the Winston Municipal Code, Title 9, Chapter 90, Sections 90.090 and 90.091, regarding prohibiting camping at certain public properties and adding new sections 90.092 90.093, and 90.094.
Thank you. Public statements in opposition to this ordinance. Anybody want to speak to that?
Question?
Yeah, say so. I didn't make the rules.
Yeah, you did. Okay, Terry Fink, 1100 Abraham Avenue. At the last meeting, I remembered hearing something about Winston only has to take care of their own. In other words, if somebody from Roseburg were to come to Winston and want to camp, that they wouldn't be able to? Sure. Am I misunderstanding what was said?
Well, that creates an interesting question, because if they're homeless, where are they from?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if I
may. Mr. Mark, please. Mr. Bob.
Yes.
I'm the one who made those comments, and that was in relationship to speaking with the city of Sutherland. In regards to their homeless camp, is they're only required to deal with those people from Sutherland that are homeless. Now, the question becomes, how do you determine that?
Exactly.
And we didn't get into those details.
Okay.
That
or who would enforce it.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know how you determine somebody is necessarily from Winston, Roseburg, or Sutherland. Mm-hmm.
I was
based
just
on
looking
what?
For
so,
clarification. I heard that, and I thought, wait a minute, what are, I just see more dollar signs going out the window.
But so, yes, that's my
thank
understanding.
You.
Yes, thanks.
So that's the statement in opposition. Any statements in favor? Any statements in general? Council, any questions for Mr. McIntosh, Mr. Bauer?
Well, the only thing we have, if we don't do anything, then we're, I shouldn't say nasty words, but it won't work.
I have one question for Thomas. The time restriction from the attorney, he advised to adjust back to 24 hours. Is that for relocation purposes? Is that what he's referring to?
Mm-hmm. Relocate to another city or public-owned property. Okay. So relocate doesn't mean on the same public property.
Okay, that's what I was a little confused about who suggested what the adjustment was for 24 hours.
Yeah.
He didn't say it's for relocation necessarily, so I assume that's what it's for.
Yes, absolutely. And that is a boilerplate response that's kind of across the board to all cities. Stick with 24 hours. The council, during the first reading, elected to keep the same increment of time. If you'd like to read or change that, I'm happy to talk about it.
And also, too, is it still 1,000 feet within the school?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep, that's in there.
Yeah, because Roger put it down, I think, to 200 feet.
Yeah, that's because that riverbed is pretty close to the school.
Yeah.
So it's 1,000 feet from a school and 500 feet from a daycare or child care facility. Those are both in
there. Yeah, that narrows it down quite a bit then.
For us, yes. Any more questions? So do we need to move this forward, or do we just close the hearing and pick it up a little later in the meeting?
You're going to close the hearing, Mr. Mayor, and the second reading and later on the agenda.
If there's nothing further, I'm looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
And a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. We're going to close the public hearing. Okay, now we're back to council business. Consent agenda. Council minutes for May 15th. We're looking for a motion to approve, please.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes from May 15th.
Have a motion? For a second?
Okay.
Motion a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to speak to council? Seeing none, thank you. Seeing no reports, boards, commissions, and committees of schools. Department reports. You ready, Will?
Yep.
Okay, Civil West Engineering, Will Dawson is going to give us a report on the engineering for the siphon.
Thank you, Mayor, Councilors. Thanks for having me today. We've been working on a pre-design report for your sanitary sewer siphon that conveys your sewage flows underneath Umpqua River. And I'm Will Dawson, this is Sean Lloyd, he's the engineer that prepared the pre-design report. We'll go kind of over the background and the need. A little bit of design data, I won't bore you with those details too much. The alternatives that we looked at, and then kind of some funding possibilities and next steps. So
Will, before you go any further, here is the draft document that he is going to be talking about tonight, that staff is reviewing right now. So
you're not going to bring all those pages up there, are you?
Nope.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Just the cliff notes. So your siphon was constructed back in 1977, so it's getting up there in age. It's worked well. It was a good design. The benefit of a siphon is you don't have any mechanical structure, so it's just gravity that conveys your fluid with no need for pumps or anything like that. So
but getting a siphon started's got to be.
It's a lot easier in the wintertime. So a big part of that is sizing these pipes such that it cleans the pipes out with enough velocity to get the solids back up onto the other side. And so that's why there's three pipes out there now. Three, for low flow conditions, kind of medium flow, and then your high flow INI conditions. So we've looked at a couple different alternatives. And a little bit of design data here. When we size these pipes and look at your future growth, we look out 50 years. That's kind of the design life of these improvements. And the growth rate for Winston has like 1% growth rate up to 2072. And so not a huge growth rate. We're not going to see a need to double in size or anything like that. Like I said, we've got a fairly good inflow and infiltration problem, just like most cities do within the state. So in the wintertime, we see a lot higher flows. And so the alternative that we kind of landed on was to replace the siphon with another siphon in a little bit different location. And the original siphon was installed with a methodology called open cut. So they diverted the Umpqua River, and the regulatory agencies won't let us do that today. So there's a technology out there called horizontal directional drilling. So we would set up on one side of the river and bore underneath it and never affect any of the ecology of the river or anything like that. I'll pull up an exhibit here in a minute and kind of show you the alignments and things like that. One thing that we'd like to see on these receiving pit structures or concrete structures is a liner to increase the longevity from hydrogen sulfides. And so the hydrogen sulfide over time eats up the concrete, and so it gives longevity to that. So here's kind of the alignment that we came up with. The existing siphon is the manhole that receives the effluent and it goes over at an angle like this now. And so what our proposal is to gravity feed up Hellwig Lane across the field. It will have a receiving manhole pit here, and then the siphon will be directional drilled into the river over to the treatment plant. We will keep this old siphon available. It's already there for redundancy. we would install some valves so we could isolate it for cleaning purposes. So you'd have two siphons in place. You know, no point in abandoning it in place. It's already there.
So are we going to need to spend some time to clean that existing siphon after we get the other one in place?
It'd probably be a good idea. We could flush it out with just, you know, water.
Okay.
And I know, just talking to the operators out there, we do get some big slug the first rain of the year, and it kind of cleans it out every year. So the alternative that I explained is also the cheapest alternative from the four that we reviewed. You're looking at about $2.7 million. That's environmental, design, construction. Other option we looked at was kind of doing a boring right next to the existing. It's going to cost more money, and the regulatory agencies don't like us crossing the river at an angle. They like that perpendicular path of least resistance. And so that cost came in at about $3.1 million. Third option, which isn't really viable, is an open cut installation. Of course, that's going to cost over $3 million if they would let us do it. Other alternative would be to do install a pump station in the force main. Kind of the negatives on that is you've got constant O&M costs, operation and maintenance for the pumps, and cost of installation is about $4.5 million plus, you know, yearly operation and maintenance costs. So our recommendation is to go with alternative one. We could do nothing, but that could be a catastrophic failure. So kind of funding possibilities, and Mark kind of touched on it a little bit. There's some federal funds available right now, so it's kind of lining up good for you guys' project. DEQ has some loan forgiveness. They just upped that to, if you do a $4 million project, half of it, $2 million is grant forgiveness. So it kind of behooves you, if you think about it, to do, you know, couple this with another project to get that full grant available to benefit from. The USDA has some other funding options. Their rates are a little bit higher from the last one stop I did. I think DEQ's rates were 1.8%, where USDA's were 3.5%. It's not a bad rate, I mean, in comparison to what the prime is right now, but DEQ seems to have the better deals. So what we'd like to do, kind of next steps, is set up a one-stop funding meeting, and that's where all the funding agencies come and present to us in the city what's available for our project. And with your guys' approval, we'll submit our pre-designed report to DEQ so they can review it. It's part of the permitting process. And then we can move into the next phase, which would be the design phase of the project.
So if we get this approval, what other permits are going to be required to do this project?
We're working on putting a joint permit application in, and so that goes into the Army Corps of Engineers, and then they disseminate it to the other regulatory agencies. We're not anticipating a huge lift on the permitting side because we're not touching any riparian area. We're setting up and boring underneath all that. So they will review it. They may, you know, there might be some environmental cross-cutters depending on the funding mechanism that would trigger additional permits or regulatory hurdles. So
what's the time frame on something like that? Because we're already almost 3 years into this thing.
It's probably, it could be up to 2 years.
Two more years. Goody. And so what the cost of money does in that time?
Yeah.
Didn't we have some federal money that came in, was it 1.2 mil? We spent some of it on the roof of the community center and then also towards this project?
That's correct. We spent about $280,000 on the roof of the community center. We spent about $80,000 to $90,000 on the reservoir project, internet project, and then the rest of it has been left to this, to the sewer fund.
Okay. So, Will, have you
I don't know whether you got this far yet, but you're going to want to go straight across now, rather than
yeah.
right now. Have you looked at the archaeology in there? Is there any other problems that you're going to run into, or do you know of anything you can start drilling?
There's not any known archaeological sites registered in that area. Part of the funding, if we go through it as federal dollars, we'll have to do some environmental review, and they probably will want an environmental or archaeological monitor out there during construction.
What about geology?
We did a geotechnical report, and so we did borings on both sides, kind of receiving pit on both sides of the river. Nothing jumped out as being, you know, that we couldn't drill it, and there's actually where we kind of have it changes about 15 feet down to some more kind of denser rock, which is beneficial for the drilling machines.
So how deep would you have to go underneath the river?
About 50 feet.
Well, say we're aiming for 20 feet below the scour depth of the river, so the absolute bottom, scour down under high flow conditions. So we're, I think 20 feet below that point. And then a lot of the rest, just because of that, were 35, 40 feet deep.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Any of y'all have any questions for Will? News? Okay.
And we know a lot of it.
I know.
She does, she'll just quit, or
it could be quicker, but these environmental regulatory agencies, they take a lot of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And even the funding agency, that they say could take up to 2 years. 5 months to 2 years once your one stop. It generally isn't the case, but
well, thank you
that's
for providing the worst case scenario.
Hope for the best. Yeah.
I don't want to say 5 months and then have it take longer, so.
Wow. Any more questions, guys?
No.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for the update.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Moving right along. Andy Howell, your turn.
I don't have much to add. I wanted to thank the guys so much for coming over. Did a good job explaining the situation with the siphon and some other projects that were currently working. I just want to talk about our West Side project. That's moving on quite nicely. We've got our borings have been completed. We have a few more connections to make. We did some pressure testing today, some low pressure testing. Everything at this point is looking good. With the construction going, we're getting a lot of inundated with phone calls from residents with around roads and whatnot, which is understandable in that area. But we have so much work going on. We're probably looking at paving like in July. So
have you heard the question, are you going to be paving my street this time?
You know, it's funny because I told the one, I was kind of joking. I said, well, actually, your street's actually better now than it was before we went in there. Because they were pretty nasty, some of those roads. But they're good. Craters did a good job keeping it maintained and best of their ability. They'll do some patchwork on some of these cuts. And then we'll schedule for Knife River, of course, is tied up on this big project over here, doing some night work and whatnot. But, that was kind of all I had to say here.
So, Andy, hey, Andy, did you hear from my my rural postal person? he's not happy with us.
No, there's a lot of unhappy people. And I was talking to Will.
Oh, because of the siphon?
No. Because the road's cut off.
Because I'm at the
siphon. Yeah, can't get that looking glass.
You know, the thing about it was perfect timing because we talked about it. It's like, hey, Will, guess what? This is great because we're going to have our contract doing work, but everybody's so pissed off now they're going to think it's some other company working. So we slid under the table on that one. The guys really put some a lot of overtime in. Some time for Crayard to get this thing opened up on by Friday for us, but they did a good job.
Cool.
Do you have any idea when they might be putting down some dust control down on Edgewood?
That'll probably be shoot for the middle of the month, Dave. And then that's another one because we have to can't get too late because we're new fiscal because it comes out of next fiscal budget, so we have to kind of get Edge up close and then get invoiced out for the fiscal year for.
Get it right.
crazy. Anything else for Andy? Thank you, Andy. And could you please flip those lights on up here for me? Thank you.
Here we go.
There we are. Thank you. Okay, Thomas, anything for community development?
Yeah, just up real quick, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. We seem to be inundating you in public hearings. The next meeting's no exception to that. We've got a pretty big public hearing that comes before you with the recommendation of approval from Planning Commission, the transportation system plan. I know we've been talking about that for 2 years now. So it's kind of time to take action in terms of a public hearing on that one. Coupled with that will be the housing needs analysis, shows the growth for the next 20 years, kind of gives us numbers there, and so we can figure out how, mostly preceding what we do with the UGB in the future, the urban growth boundary. So that's going to really help inform some of those decisions for council. Go ahead.
No.
Okay. The other one is, I'm glad Will and his partner here, they did a little bit of a presentation on the SDCs, the system development charges for wastewater and parks. On the 19th is the public hearing on that. The exception and the adoption of the methodologies and looking at the rate changes. So that's a pretty big one as well. So both of those placed before the body of the council next year. I just want to make sure that's on your radar.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Any questions for Thomas?
Just a quick one. Have we heard anything from that campground owner for the proposed campground across from DC Co-op?
No, nothing.
He cut a bunch of hay.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, last thing we heard is that he was going to try in this year to do a little bit of landscaping, but the entirety of the project was going to be pinned down for 2024. And it's been a couple of months since there's been no condition compliance worked, nothing whatsoever. We continue to get some, communication from concerned citizens over there. They put in public records requests. We're happy to reply and communicate. That if there's anything in there, we'll share it, and they work on anything. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anything else for Thomas? Thank you, Mr. Bauer, please. Anything more?
No, I have no additional comments.
Okay.
Or do I?
I thought you did.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to change Mr. McIntosh's situation.
Oh, he called you to the car.
Good. That's right. With my new work schedule going into place now at the first of the month, I'm going to be promoting Thomas to assistant city manager. Carry out that role when I'm not around.
Perfect.
Let's move it along before he changes his mind.
Yeah. The next question is, are they going to remunerate you in a fashion greater than what you already are?
You should be.
Is that a fancy way for saying a salary increase?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I got my thesaurus out before I came.
Wow,
I
was impressed.
Yes, you just sit next. There will be a salary increase.
So that's going to be taken?
Yes.
Okay. Can you keep that a secret, or?
Probably should. Ann and I were working on that earlier today, so we'll keep it a secret until it's finalized.
Okay. Inquiring minds and all. Okay, thank you. Seeing no old business. New business. We got new business licenses. Blackwater Construction, Dominica's Educational Resources, Mr. Joe Mose and Bad Dog Landscaping and Maintenance.
If I may interject, I have to recuse myself on this because I do have a financial interest in one of the companies.
Perfect. Anybody else have any reason to beg out? Okay, so looking for a motion to approve the business licenses as presented.
I'll make that motion that we approve the business licenses.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you much, and thank you for doing that, Dave. Request for reappointment to the library board. Let me get down here to that. Bob Bell was back in the game. Cool.
motion?
I move that we reappoint Bob Bell to the library board.
Have a motion? Looking for a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Resolution 23-1083, property donation, Looking Glass Creek Pump Station. Read by title only. Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 23-1083, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council accepting the quitclaim deed for the donation of property referred to as the Looking Glass Creek Pump Station property from T1 Drexel LLC and directing the city manager to take any necessary steps to complete the donation process.
Thank you. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council, members of the audience. So real quick, got a really unique history with this particular property and kind of where we are here today. The entirety of the property went through a three-phase 61 lot subdivision, but we had about an 8.2 acre piece that was left over, and there was a pump station required to be created in order to push the wastewater in the normal regard. And the pump station, after everything was platted, was just left on vacant bare land on the south end of the property. And so for whatever reason, it just kind of sat down there. So we started working with it, talked to the owner. And usually what happens is these pump stations are carved out. They're dedicated to the city. We take care of them. We look after them in the normal regard. So this one wasn't for whatever reason. So we went through a two-phase process. We did a two-parcel land partition. Carved out 0.11 acres, a square around the lift station. And this is the second part. The property owner has graciously offered to donate the property with the lift station on there to the city. So this essentially executes that. We got help from our city attorney. He prepared the deed. We got a legal description there that kind of describes. And we've got an exhibit, which is essentially the two parcel land partition plat from 2021. So just want to look to take that thing in. Of course, you know from our code that any kind of wastewater line or main line that serves more than one tax lot is the city's responsibility, and this is no exception to that. So by default, we've been, of course, Public Works has been doing a lot of work on that thing throughout the years. It's had issues here and there. So we want to have it under our ownership and jurisdiction. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McIntosh?
Thomas, I know this has been going on a while. Why didn't we take care of this originally? Was there some holdup for a reason that I'm not aware of?
You know, I don't feel like I say this very often, but I did a thorough research of it, and we just can't answer that. Didn't make it in as a condition to dedicate the property. It didn't get carved out in conjunction with the planning process like it typically happens. It's public infrastructure, and so it was just never dedicated. So we're just taking care of it.
We kind of overlooked it at the beginning.
What was the time frame?
So the platting was done on the third phase, which was the leftover 29 lots back in 2020, late 1920. Went through and got done with all that. And then we noticed it, and then 2021, the two parcel land partition went in place. We're lucky here because the owner that did the subdivision is still the owner here, and he's very good to work with, Tim Drescher.
That's good.
So he's been very amicable in that regard.
Perfect. So is that, quick question, is that out Collins Road?
Mm-hmm. You go Collins down, and it's the south end, it's kind of bare land, there's a pond down there.
But that that lift station was put in back in what, Andy? 14?
Yeah, that's another 15.
So it was during the original platting of that property that lift station was installed, but there was nothing done to secure the property along with the lift station.
Wow.
Yeah, it ain't a little fence, eh? Do you?
Yep.
Perfect.
Just a little, in the 90s when Ed Collins was alive, I helped plat the ground for him when we did a minor land partition so he could sell two lots per year instead of a major. Two or more than two would be a major land partition. So that's why it ended up being Collins Road, and he did that for his kids. And what happened after, it must have been like 93 or so, it's been a while. 30 years. So what ended up heading east off of Collins Road, I wasn't aware of, but we did mean homestead, I wasn't aware of that. So how they handled that, and that's good that it's going to get tied up with a bow and you're going to be able to handle that center water-wise and pump station and, connecting the dots, so to speak. So that's just goes back 30 years ago.
Thank you. So looking for a motion then to approve Resolution 23-1083.
So moved.
Now, motion for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Resolution 23-1084, donation of two office color copiers. Read by title only, Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 23-1084, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to accept the donation of two used office color printers for Wander Winston marketing efforts.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Staff report. Ms. Starkle, please, would you, you got to come up here to the dais.
Nobody else does.
That's because you're special.
Oh, I'm so special. So I'm super excited. Last week, one of the volunteers of my October designee came up to me. She was very involved in her previous city that she lived in, and she has two large colored printers. One prints 12 by 18. Currently, all we can print is 11 by 17. It's laser, it's toner, it's Xerox, new retailed for $5,000, used, I looked it up on Google, if you're going to buy it used, still over $2,500. And then she also has another 11 by 17 wax printer, which is also a Xerox. So it just gives us more opportunity, more options when we're printing our marketing stuff. I know we want to try to get some rack cards out and expand on our little makeshift tourism department. And this would just help us along the way.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions for Katie?
Big thank you to that lady.
I know. She came up and was like, are you serious? Yes.
Make sure that she gets a letter of the value of the
donation letter. Absolutely. Yes.
Donation letter for taxes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any comments from the audience? Council action. Looking for a motion to approve?
I make a motion that we approve the acquisition of the two printers.
I second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Katie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now for the big one of the night. Ordinance 23712, the camping ordinance. Read by title only. Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 23-712. This is the second reading. An ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council amending the Winston Municipal Code, Title 9, Chapter 90, Sections 90.090 and 90.091, regarding prohibiting camping at certain public properties and adding new sections 90.092, 90.093, and 90.094.
Thank you very much. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So I won't revisit some of the previous staff report comments. Just want to reiterate the purpose and of intent of this particular ordinance. We want to be consistent with the state legislation that has been passed and imposed upon all incorporated areas. But the parks and the public spaces, they do belong to the people. They're for the benefit of the people. They're maintained very vigorously and diligently by public works and city staff. We want to do everything we can to protect the integrity. There are all of the elements in this ordinance go directly towards that goal and that intent. We put a lot of work into crafting it, and we are hoping that it will essentially be a springboard into accomplishing that goal as well. We do expect more information to come down and after July 1 due to other case law. Of course, you know an ordinance can be amended, so we can always revisit if we need to. If you choose to adopt this evening, it would have a 30-day appeal period. That will be up in the first week of July. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions from the audience? Council? Looking for a motion to approve Ordinance 23-7112. we got to understand that this is still pretty fluid, so we'll be able to amend this as we go along, should be required to. So, looking for a motion.
I make a motion, we accept it. Ordinance number 23712.
A motion, looking for a second?
Second.
Motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Upcoming agenda items. As Thomas mentioned earlier, on the 19th of June, we'll have a public hearing and transportation plan and housing needs analysis. We'll also have a public hearing for the system development charges methodologies on the sewer rates. We'll do the park one at the same time.
Yep, they're both housed at the same.
Thank you. Budget restrictions.
Budget resolution.
I'm sorry. Too many things going on here all of a sudden. Non-agenda items from council.
We have the June 8th LLC conference.
Yeah, we got an LLC conference here at the community center on the 8th between 11 and 1. Any chance we can get the Safari to bring something up for that, maybe?
We'll check.
You want me to call?
Yeah,
call Dan.
We'll look into it.
Thank you.
Also, is anybody that wants to go on the 8th not registered currently? That you need me to register you?
I may. I'm not sure I am or am not.
Okay. I can. It doesn't matter if you make it or not. For sure. If you think you can might make it, I'll register you.
Please register me.
I'm registered.
You're registered.
Lunch.
Tell me a long lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dorian,
yeah.
Mayor.
Any non-agenda item from council? Okay, good of the order. Check copy from the packet. Claims excess of $500. Announcements. Park Board, June 13th at 4. Economic Development at noon on the 14th. Urban Renewal Agency. We going to need to do something there? Are we good, Alan?
Says if necessitated. I haven't heard anything yet.
That's probably a no-go for the urban renewal. Winston City Council on the 19th and summer, June 21st, all day. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
Fine, Your Honor.
Thank you and good night.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to see you. I've been going to call you, but then I'm not sure. Meeting adjourned 8:07.